Now, what we want to do is increase our ability to make soul contact. And so this is the next question, is how do we do that? Do we do it by becoming a righteous person, as the ministers and religions teach? Is that what we have to do? How big a step, how far does obeying the religious concepts that are taught in Sunday school, how far does that actually take us? To be a good person and be kind and generous and pay your tithes to the church and go to Sunday school and do all these things that you do that people call righteous, don't drink or smoke and don't do wild, crazy things. How far does this actually take us?
Backwards.
What?
Backwards.
No, not backwards. It's a start. Right.
It's like being a baby that you're totally contained in that church by the church's rules. So if you have no need for those rules anymore, then that going backwards. But if you're a beginner, organized religion is quite nice.
Right. In organized religion, they say, well, you're going to get to the highest heaven or get saved. You got to do A, B, C, D. You got to accept Jesus. You got to be a pretty good person. Now, some say you just have to accept Jesus and that's it. You know, it's and nothing else. Just accept. And others say you have to do a lot of good works, be a good person, help others, and just be a genuinely good person. Okay? And, oh, you have to attend their particular church. Every Sunday, preferably, and donate and do all these things. But how far does that really take us?
To first base.
Right. Takes you pretty much to first base. Because when your soul looks down on you and you accomplish these things, maybe you're in a religion and you're following, doing, being Mr. Goody Goody Two Shoes, and you'd make a good husband to Marie Osmond, and a wife to Donny Osmond or whatever, and you're just a decent guy. Okay, this is what your soul is thinking. Well, it's got to first base. Okay, this is what we expect of people that achieve soul contact. We expect them to be decent people. This is the way they look out from the other side. We expect this. This is like first base. You know, there's decent people everywhere. Even there's good atheists. There's good agnostics. There's good Democrats. There's good Republicans. There's good people in every group that are just trying to follow the highest they know and be decent people. And if they find somebody had the flat tire, they'll help them out. And if they find somebody that needs food, they'll maybe donate a little bit. Different things like this. There's a lot of good, decent people out there. And there's a lot of good, decent people and have almost close to zero soul contact. They don't look farther than what their minister tells them they can look or from what their authorities have told them they're supposed to look. Because this is the power of the beast that I've taught about so many times. The beast is the outward authority that takes the place of God. And probably 95% of the people are ruled by the beast. And the beast, the outward authorities that take the place of God are everywhere. They're in the churches, they're in politics, they're in education, they're in medicine. All these outward authorities that take the place of God are the voice of God to us. That's why a doctor is so powerful. If he tells the patient he's got 3 months to live, it's like the voice of God speaking to him. And if he listens to that outward voice, he will not only die in 3 months, but he'll be depressed for the 3 months that he has to live. Now, a lot of people make fun of the Buddhist belief in nirvana, but it's actually the same thing that Christ talked about when he talked about attaining the baptism of fire, so to speak, or some of these other experiences. Many of the things in the Christian religion
with the same things as taught in the religions of the East, but the vocabulary is different. God actually has worked through all the religions of the world. Every major religion of the world was started by inspiration of some type. And then after they become started, they often become corrupt within a generation or so. And almost every one of the major religions have lost the purity of the teachings of their founders. Even those religions which are highly criticized, like even the Jehovah's Witnesses, perhaps the most obnoxious Christian religion out there, started with a really good idea. It started with a bunch of people getting together, breaking off from major religions. They got together in homes and studied the Bible from scratch, and just to see what it said, with no preconceived notions. But then what happened? After a period of time, they begin to tabulate, well, the Bible says this, and this is what it really says about this, and they begin to tabulate doctrines. And then pretty soon, the people that come into their Watchtower study class, they were told, well, this is what the Bible really means when it says this. So that starting from scratch and thinking as a little child, so to speak, and learning with no preconceived notions was tossed out the window by this group, and now it's turned into a kind of obnoxious group that they have all the answers when they come to your door. And if you have a different answer, well, you just are wrong. And there's no considering at all your answer, which is different from theirs. And of course, every other religious group are the same way. But almost all of them, even the obnoxious ones, started out with a good idea that influenced people for good in the beginning. But then after a period of time, it went through a period of corruption where there was change. You'll find that almost every atrocity that has been created is because of religious beliefs. Now, have you ever heard stories about people that think differently, like somebody is an Islam, somebody is a Jew, somebody is a Christian, they get to know each other, and then they start feeling more friendly once they break down the barriers? Does anyone remember that movie with Dennis Quaid a while back called Enemy Mine? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good example of that. These Earthlings and this particular alien race were really hated each other, you know, and they crash-landed on this planet, and they were trying to kill each other at first, and slowly they had to learn to work together, and by the end of the show, they were almost ready to be soulmates, you know, and they were really willing to stand up for each other. And when we realize we're one humanity, this is a natural thing to happen. If we really understood that people who think differently from us are our brothers, then we would indeed be very hesitant to go to war with them and attempt to destroy them. But as it is, these barriers are set up where many religions think the other religions are the seat of Satan. Many people in the Islam countries call the United States, for instance, the Great Satan. By calling us the Great Satan, I mean, that makes us a righteous target for them. And they feel no qualms about giving their life for Allah, try an attempt to destroy our servicemen or our ships or whatever. And some of us have religious beliefs in this country that are similar. But the interesting thing is that all the religions of the world have a thread of unification between them all. There's certain things that all the religions of the world believe. And the things that are in common with all the religions of the world are similar enough that principles of unification necessary to cause them to meet on the same ground are in number enough that it's possible to influence the peoples of the world to lay down their arms and realize that the brotherhood of man extends everywhere, just not in their religion, but amongst all the religions of the world. There is a common thread in all the religions of the earth and a common brotherhood. And if this idea begins to permeate the consciousness of humanity, it can do bring a great measure of peace on the earth, bring a great measure of stability. Because if there is stability between the religions, we will not have a World War III. Think about that. That's all it will take, is stability between the religions.
Yeah, there's people in the room here that still go to church, and that's fine. The most important thing is don't let the authority of the church take control of your life. Always be the main decision maker, be the spirit or the God or the soul within yourself. Judging everything and figuring out what to do. And whether you're in a church or out of church or in an organization, all churches have a stepping stone. And the church taught me a lot about physical control and also emotional control, and eventually working my way out of the illusions in the church helped me see through a lot of different illusions. So the church was a good teacher for me, and it's good for us all. Some people I meet say, well, I was never religious, never went to any church. I think, well, that's fine. That's probably not what you needed in this particular life. And doesn't mean one person is more evolved than another. But the churches are all good starting sources. And a lot of people that aren't religious themselves or even atheists will send their kids to church because they feel that it gives them good training for life and good essential idea of what's right and wrong, you know. And so the churches have their place. The Mormon church has several teachings that are really good that spoke to my soul, that still speak to my soul. Number one is that we can get personal revelation. There's more than the Bible, that God still speaks to man just the way he did in ancient times, and that's a really good teaching. The Mormon Church teaches puts a lot of emphasis on free agency as a teaching, but not in the exercise thereof. When you use your free agency, you get in trouble. But at least it teaches free agency, and I absorbed that teaching. The Mormon scriptures have a lot of light in it to be found. The Joseph Smith's final speech he gave, the King Pollyant Discourse, was kind of a groundbreaking with a lot of light in it for that era. Other religions are really good, like Christian Science has a lot of good teachings about mind over matter. And the Unity Church is good for teaching open-mindedness. And for just Orthodox people, you know, the Orthodox churches give them a little structure in their life. Statistics and polls show that people that are religious are happier overall than those who are not. So it gives them enough structure so they, you know, have stability in their life. But then comes a time where you need to graduate, and we call this the churches of the world are basically kindergarten to prepare us for real learning. You don't really undergo real learning in the churches, but it's preparatory to really learning. And then when you get on the path and really start learning, then it's interesting. When I first started teaching, my nephew Curtis is going to be here tomorrow. After I taught him a few things, he comes to me and he says, "Wow, I didn't realize there was knowledge like this available anywhere." And I mean, it was just expansive for him to learn that there was more than just ABCs available. And he was really thrilled about that there was plenty of material to learn. But I remember when I was you know, evolving in the church, the big disappointment I had, I thought, well, you know, I've read the basic teachings of the church and absorbed them. Now what? You know? I thought, boy, it'd be nice if there was more. And eventually I did find out there was more. And when you find out there is more, there's more than we can ever absorb in one life. And there's plenty you can learn even without reading books, just by being in close harmony with your soul, you can absorb all kinds of knowledge. Our higher self wants us to contact it. It's waiting for us to become sensitive enough to be able to commune with it. Now, the higher self has to put out extensions of itself life after life, hundreds of lifetimes before its reflection gets sensitive enough to be able to communicate with it. Because for many lifetimes, it projects itself and it has experience through its shadow, so to speak, and we're its shadow. But there's very little communion with the higher self. But eventually, when the person reaches the point where he says, there's got to be something higher than this. And he reaches that point through all kinds of avenues. Usually doesn't happen with religion, but religion helps. It gets him started. Religion is like a kindergarten. But oftentimes, after his experience with religion, he actually turns atheist for a couple lifetimes. Because when you talk to atheists, they're actually quite intelligent, and they have what they consider to be good reasons for rejecting God and the supernatural. But many of these atheists are actually more progressed than the religious people. And the fact that they have rejected God because they've encountered a lot in religion that doesn't make sense to them. And they reach a point, they say, well, I'm not going to believe anything unless it makes sense. Okay, so I'm going to believe what I can see and deduct on my own and conclude on my own. And they do this for a number of lifetimes, but then after a number of lifetimes, they find out it doesn't really work. They keep hitting dead end after dead end where they don't get answers. And then, whether they be atheist or a believer that's just their life hasn't worked for them, but eventually the person reaches a point where he says, there's got to be something out there. There's got to be some meaning behind existence. And I'm going to start looking for it. And then he puts attention on it without some minister or Bible or authority telling him what to believe. He just does it completely on his own as a child. And you have to become as a little child in the kingdom of heaven. And this is what he does. He throws away all his preconceived notions and says there must be something higher, and he looks for something higher without anyone telling him what to do or what to believe. And when he opens his mind that way, and then he reaches this dead end, then the day comes, he gets that flashing forth, that aha moment. Something comes to him, and when it comes to him, first of all, he'll say, where did that come from? It didn't come from my logical mind. I didn't calculate this, but it just feels right. Where did it come from? Did I imagine it? Did I imagine it come from something higher than myself? I'm not sure if I imagine it or not. And then he begins to, maybe he'll reject that. And it might be a lifetime before it happens again. But it will eventually happen again. He reaches another dead end, and he has that flashing forth. And this time he gives it credit that there's something out there besides just me. Something higher than me. I'm going to start putting attention on it. And he starts putting attention on it. And finally, he enters the path. This is the entering of the path. Now, to increase sensitivity, we must overcome in three worlds. We must overcome in the physical, in the emotional, and in the world of the mind. Now, the churches of the world help us on the physical level. They put us through programs where you can't drink or smoke or have wild sex and things like this. And they help to train you to control your physical self. And this is the first thing that as a disciple needs to learn to do, is control his physical nature. So anything that will control him on a physical level, he must learn to control himself. He must learn to control what he eats, what he drinks. In other words, if he decides he wants to not smoke or not drink, or he wants to go on a vegetarian diet, or he wants to go on an all-meat caveman diet or whatever, he has power to do that. He just decides it and he does it. Okay. When he has this power, this is the first step. And this is why the religions have all taught about sexual purity, because to control your sexual urges and your eating urges and all the things connected to the physical appetite is very difficult. So the religions put you through this, help you in this regard, because they have these thou shalt nots. Now, so when you learn to master the physical side, that makes you more sensitive to the feelings of the soul. Now, this doesn't mean you have to go on a purely vegetarian diet, or can never have a drink, or can never drink tea or whatever. The purpose of the religious teachings around this aspect is to teach you self-control. And that's one of the reasons, one of the good things that religions do is they teach you certain, every religion has different things that involve control over the physical related to sex and appetite. And they direct you toward self-control. And this is what the person needs to have. Is self-control over his physical appetites. This is what he must demonstrate. Once he's demonstrated that and comfortable with it, then most everything won't hurt him in moderation. But if for some purpose he needs to be even extreme, he can do it. But if there's no purpose involved, then he can be fairly moderate and accomplish whatever he wants to do. The main thing is to get control over the physical. So the person has control of the physical doesn't have control over him. And when he reaches this point, he's removed the first major barrier between him and his soul.
Thanks for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. If what you heard rang true and you'd like to find out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com. That's F-R-E-E-R-E-A-D.com.